Amen. What a beautiful song to start our service this morning. We have come into this place, gathered in His name, with one item on the agenda, to worship Him. That is why we're here this morning. And with that being said, good morning to each and every one of you. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Welcome to God's house. You are so welcome. If this is your first time, this is your first time here at SBC, you're especially welcome. We pray today that you will be blessed by this service and by the word of God. And we pray that this won't be your last time. We would love you to stay around and stick around and be a part of what God is doing here at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. At the conclusion of the service, we do meet in the church lounge for refreshments, teas and coffees, and a good chat and fellowship with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So please do join us after if you wish to join in fellowship. Also, by way of announcement, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about this during the course of this service, you should have received by now a little gift form, and this is in relation to the heating system that we will be seeking to replace in a short while. And of course, for those of you who are members of this church, you'll be well versed and well up to date with this. So today is the actual official gift day for the heating, and Adrian is going to come shortly and he's going to give us some more information about the heating system. But more so than the practical requirements of our lives and of this church building, more so we want to be drenched by the Holy Spirit of God today. We want the fire of the Holy Spirit to fall afresh on us. And I'm going to invite you now to read Psalm 150. We're going to read this together by way of introduction. We're going to read Psalm 150 together. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. This is why we've got to bring our Bibles to church, isn't it? We can't always rely on the screen. There we go. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lute. Praise Him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise Him. Yes. Praise Him with the clash of the cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's read that again. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to praise Him. We're going to thank Him for all that He has done for us. We're going to honor Him because He is worthy of all honor. And we are going to respond to the invitation of God. We're going to respond to His invitation this morning to come into His presence and to worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. So let's pray together now as we focus on Him, as we come to worship Him. Father, we are so grateful for allowing us another opportunity to come into Your house and to meet together. Lord, we don't take it lightly. Lord, we know it could have been otherwise. But because of Your grace, because of Your mercy, we thank You that You have allowed us this privilege here on the Lord's Day to meet together and to worship You. We thank You that You inhabit the very praises of Your people. And we pray now that as we lift our voices in song, and more importantly, as we lift our hearts to You, we pray that our offering of praise and worship will be pleasing in Your sight. We pray, Lord, that You would minister to us today that you would speak to each and every one of us today, for the children and the young people, and for all of us who will remain in the sanctuary. We pray that we would encounter and meet with the living God this morning. And above all else, as we leave this place, we want your name to be glorified above all. We pray that the name of Jesus will be lifted high, that all will see and know that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God. And we pray now, as we come in song worship to sing songs of Zion, that Father, these melodies in our hearts will be pleasing in your sight. So bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together, if you are able. To God be the glory. Great things he has done, followed by Praise is Rising.
Thank you.
Amen. Please do take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Let's just still our hearts before him. Let's be still, for the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you so much for your presence in this place. We thank you that in your presence there is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine! Thank you that you invite us into your courts. And Lord, we say thank you from the very depths of our hearts. We say thank you. We thank you that it's in you that we live, we move, we have our being. We're desperate and we long for you now. We say, come, Lord Jesus, build your kingdom here. Build your kingdom here. Amen. We started the service, Psalm 150, encouraging us to praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath to praise the Lord. And we're going to do a little exercise of praise to God right now. And right down the middle, aisle upstairs and downstairs, so on my left, your right, and on my right, your left, this is what we're going to do. It's a very simple song. On the left, my left, you're going to sing, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And then this side, you're going to sing, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Upstairs as well, yes. Praise ye the Lord. Okay, good. We've got that part. And then this side, you're going to come back and you're going to sing, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Everyone together. Praise ye the Lord. Yes. That's beautiful. We're going to do it again to the glory of God. Are you ready? Hallelujah. 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 Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, praise ye. Everybody, praise ye the Lord. One more time. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye. Yes. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Yes, beautiful. Praise the Lord. Some of you don't know, I used to be a choir director back in the day. Yes. Praise ye the Lord. We're going to read one more psalm, Psalm 84. Psalm 84 and verse 10. We're going to read together. Let's read together. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell. Yes. Isn't that beautiful? Better is just one day. Just one day. That's how much. That's how much the presence of the Lord was valued. That just one day. Just one day. And he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of the wicked. Friends, we should never take for granted the presence of God in our lives. We should value it richly, very deeply in our lives, the presence of the Lord. And our next song encourages us to reflect on the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. And every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Please do take your seats. Amen. The presence of the Lord is in this place. I'm going to invite Adrian to come at this time, and he's going to give us an update and some information about the heating system.
Good morning, church. Right. I don't know how I followed that really, but with something as mundane as this, but just a brief update for anybody that isn't a church member or wasn't at the church meeting. We're looking to replace the heating and boiler system. Why do we need to do this? Over the last few years, we've tried a number of different things like flushing all the radiators. Nothing works. They're so clogged up over the years because they've been there for probably the best part of 30, 40 years, the radiators, some of them. The boiler's coming to the end of its life. We can't get parts for it anymore. So the deacons asked me quite some time ago to, with Peter, get some quotes, which we went through a process. It was difficult finding companies big enough, but we found some in the end. We had four quotes in, two of which were over £200,000. But the good news is the most comprehensive quote and what we thought was the best quote came in between £70,000 and £75,000. We took this recommendation to a church meeting who unanimously accepted that we should go ahead with that. And for anybody who was at the meeting or knows anything about the finances of the church and that, we do have in reserve around about that amount of money. However, we need to keep money for the day-to-day running of the church, so we can't spend the whole amount of that just on this. So God's always blessed us in the past. When we did the front of the church and put the wonderful glass doors in, and when we put the new roof on, the church has generously given to that, so we're asking people to do the same now. So today is the gift day. That doesn't mean there's only today you can give. You can give any time over the next few weeks, because the work's probably not going to start until sometime in March. Also, I'm just here to tell you that about these little envelopes, which are either on your seats or there's a pile over here on the table. These are for you to put specific heating donations in. You can put cash and cheques in them, put them in the boxes. You can do a standing order, direct debit, or a BACS transfer. All the details are on this form. If you do a BACS transfer or any sort of payment through the bank, please make sure you identify it by putting in the subject matter, either heating, boiling, boiler, or something like that, okay? If you're a taxpayer, most important bit, the little box at the bottom there, if you fill that in, if you're a taxpayer, we can get an extra 25 pence on every pound that you give. So that means if somebody generously gives £100, we end up with £125. If someone gives phenomenally £1,000, you get £1,250. But whether it's a pound or whether it's much more than that, it doesn't matter. Every little bit helps. Right. We're hoping that work will start in March. If you've forgotten your checkbook, your cash, or your direct debit details, any time in the next month will be absolutely fine. But as long as you mark it with either heating or boiler, and then we will know that it's specifically for that. That's what we wanted to do. So what I'd like to do is just pray, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you that in the past you've always blessed us generously with whatever we need to keep your church going for you, Lord. Lord, we know that church has been getting cold recently, and Lord, we just ask you to bless this development now, Lord, and we just ask you to touch people's hearts and invite them to give what they can afford. Lord, we just ask for it in your glorious Son's name. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
And if anybody wants any more information, just see me afterwards.
Amen. Thank you so much, Adrian. And we indeed have that testimony here in this church throughout the generations. This local church has been in operation for 156 plus years, and God has continued to sustain this ministry over that course of time. And because we have that track record of God's blessings in sustaining us and keeping this church, then we know that this challenge before us, the Lord will provide. Don't we believe that? The Lord will provide as he has done for us in the past. Amen. I'm now going to invite our children and young people to leave for their groups. Oh yes, of course, birthday box. Is there any one of our young people, children, having a birthday, the blessing of a birthday in and around this week? Anyone? Any happy birthdays? No? Okay. All right then. Well, have a wonderful time in your groups learning more about Jesus. The Lord bless you as you leave. As we come now to a time of prayer, let's just still our hearts before him as we make our requests known unto God, our petitions, our concerns, our cares, our community, our nation, our world. We thank the Lord that he is in charge of all things. He is in control of all things. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the whole world and they that dwell therein. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are indeed sovereign over all. And Lord, although we look around us and we see so much devastation and so many challenges all around us, so many needs before us, personal struggles in our lives, our families, our loved ones, but also we look further afield and see devastation, Turkey and Syria. We see tragic circumstances, Nicola Bulley still missing, went out to walk her dog, dropped off her children and still hasn't returned. Lord, we see all what's happening around us, the continued war, unnecessary war in Ukraine. And Lord, it breaks our hearts because we would want nothing more than just to bring an end to these problems and struggles. But Father, we do not have to worry. We do not have to fret because your word tells us that in the last days, perilous times will come. And perhaps it's in the last days that we're seeing these pains even now. But we're grateful that you are still on the throne. Nothing surprises you. Lord, we thank you that you know all things. And we can still trust you, even in the midst of what seems chaos. But we do pray for those in Turkey and Syria at this time. We pray that your hand will be upon them. We pray, Lord, that you will continue, Lord, to stir in the hearts of surrounding regions, charities, and those who are wealthy, that can lend the hand of support to reach out and bless those who are suffering right now. Although many have died, we do thank you that many continue to be pulled out of the rubble. Little children, newborn children. Oh Lord, we just thank you that even in a very dire situation, you still are performing miracles. And for that we say thank you. Lord, we pray that you will give them all that they need, both now in the present and into the future, to be able to rebuild that which has been broken. And Lord, we do pray for situation regarding Nicola Bulli at this time, still missing. We pray for her family, pray for her partner. We pray, Lord, for her little children. We pray, Lord, that they would know your peace that surpasses all human understanding. Lord, we do pray for our congregation now, for all those who are not here in body because of sickness or other situations in their lives. We pray that you would touch them right now, that the same presence of God that we feel in this place would touch them right now, wherever they may be, that you would uplift them and encourage them through your Holy Spirit. We pray you'd heal those who need healing. Pray you provide for those who need provision. And Lord, as we focus on you now and your holy word, we pray, Lord, that we could feast on your word this morning. Speak to us, minister to us, and be glorified in this time of sharing. We give you all the glory now and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to return to song and sing, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. borrow your sermon notes. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. I'm going to invite Tim to come. Tim is going to read for us our focus passage this morning. It's taken from John chapter 4.
The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are the prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming. Neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will the worship for the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here. When the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is the Spirit, and those who worship him must worship in the spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who he is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he."
Amen. Thank you, Timothy. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It says that the Father is on the lookout for worshippers, those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Today, briefly, I'm asking the question, what does our culture have to do with worship? What does our culture have to do with worship? Friends, this coming April of this year will, by the grace of God, it will be the seventh year anniversary, if you will, of me joining this church. 7 years. Can you believe that? The time, no, we don't need no clap, that's no clap. But 7 years, God has brought me here, and as I reflect over those 7 years, I'm just so grateful to God for all that he has done in my life and for connecting me with such a wonderful church family. I remember the first day that I walked through the doors, first service. In fact, it was... I wasn't even really announced to everyone at that time. I was just here on the low, if you will. And I was sitting upstairs on the balcony next to Richard Sills. And as I came through the church, of course, my first time being here, my first time really being in a Baptist church, coming from a Pentecostal church. And culturally, I recognized that there was some differences from what I was used to growing up. In the local Pentecostal church. I was just taken aback as to how short the service time was. I was like, this is amazing. 1 hour and we were done. I mean, 1 hour in my former church, we're not even properly started yet after 1 hour. And not only was I taken aback by the service time, but by the praise and the worship. It intrigued me how the beautiful singing and the music was just so beautifully arranged. But it was interesting to me that just after a couple of verses, or they would follow the verse of the song, then you would just stop. And I was like, wow, okay, that's quick. Now I'm used to, we just keep it going. We keep that thing going and going on loop, 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 until we just tired and just, then we quit. So I recognized that there was a structure. There was more of a structure. Not only did I see the service time, not only did I see the singing and the music and the following of the music sheets, but I also loved and enjoyed just how laid back things was in terms of the approach to how we congregate, coming from a very, what we would say, high church, if you will. Men would not dare to come into the church without a suit and a tie on. It was very formal, and ladies would wear hats and the Sunday best. And I saw people on the platform in jeans and just laid back, and I said, this is amazing. This is where I want to be. I don't have to wear a suit and a tie every Sunday. Isn't that wonderful? So I could see the cultural differences from my upbringing to the church that I was about to join. And then as I was beginning to converse with the people after the service, I was just taken aback again of the informality of the discussions. And in my church growing up, you know, you would always refer to people by their title. So if you were a male, we would refer to you as brother. We would say, Brother Paul. How are you, Brother Paul? And thank you. And there was a formality. We would never address the minister as just by his first name. In fact, my former pastor, the late Reverend Sappleton, I didn't even know his first name. We just grew up, it was just always Reverend S.G. Sappleton. That's what we called, Reverend or Pastor S.G. Sappleton. I only learned really of his full name when he died, and it was his funeral. And I learned it was Stanford George Sappleton. So I was amazed when we referred to Chris, it was just Chris, and I thought, this is lovely. Everyone just is informal. But although there was cultural differences from my background to where the church that I was joining, the one thing that we had in common is that we were serving the same God, but also, here's the greater importance, there was such a love of God that was shared and I felt amongst the people. And that is the most important part. That we love God with all of our hearts. As the Pharisees, when they came to Jesus, and they were intrigued and puzzled as to know what was the greatest commandment, they wanted to see if they could trip Jesus up. He said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, you know what it is. You need to love the Lord your God with all of your, yes, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And then he said, the greatest is like it, is likened to it, that you should love what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So although we may have cultural differences within the church, and we're blessed, unlike my former congregation, which was everyone, 99.9% of the church, it was a Caribbean culture in the church. That was the dominant culture. But we're blessed to be a multicultural church. We have different cultures within the one local church. And although we have differences, although there are different cultures within the church, we are serving the same God, and the same love of God that we share, that I share as a black man, that you may share as a Caucasian white lady or male, it's the same love of God that's in us all, that we all share for God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. So there may be differences in terms of the music style. Some of you may favor a more traditional British style of music. Others may favor, like me, a more of a jazz kind of hint of style to music. But regardless of the culture of the music, as long as we are lifting up the name of Jesus, that is all that really matters. Whether you are born and bred in England or in Britain, or whether you hail from other parts of the world, we are all called to love and to serve the Lord with gladness. And we're all called to worship the Lord together in the beauty of his holiness. So although there's cultural differences, what draws us together is our love for God and our love for each other. But not only do we have our own individual cultures from our upbringing, but there's also a kingdom culture. Can we say kingdom culture together? A kingdom, yes. So for those of us who have been born again, we have come to know Jesus as our Savior. Although we have our culture from birth, from our nationality, we've also been called into the body of Christ, which also operates with a different culture. It's called the kingdom culture. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So although you have your own culture, he says the first thing you ought to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things will be added onto you. But the question before us today, church, is what happens when there is a cultural collision? What happens when two cultures or three or four cultures disagree and cannot find a way to unite together, in particular in the area of praise and in worship styles? Now, we heard last week, and it's important that we know, that worship is much bigger than singing. Worship is a way of life. Our whole lives should be in devotion to God. That's why the Lord said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul and your mind. It's much more than a song. But in the area of song worship, sometimes we can become disconnected because of our particular taste in song worship. For some here today, you may like the traditional old school hymns of the church, like me. But then there are others who like a more contemporary style of music. Serving the same God, honoring the same God, but different tastes when it comes to music. So what happens when there is a cultural collision, when there's a collision of styles within the church? And we see this so clearly here in John chapter 4, because we see a Samaritan woman who came to Jacob's well to draw water, who encountered, here it is, a Jewish Messiah. We had the collision of two cultures coming together for one big encounter at Jacob's well. Now, in order to understand the severity of this encounter, you have to understand the background of the two cultures. For the Jews and the Samaritans, they really had no dealings with each other. In fact, for the Jews, if they were traveling and it was the easier route or the shorter route to travel through Samaria, they would opt to take the longer route, just as to avoid mixing with the people in Samaria. That's how much they disagreed. So this woman at the well, she was taken aback that first of all, a man was talking to her at the well, but secondly, that a Jewish man wanted to have a conversation with her. She was taken aback that a Jewish man was willing to let go of the cultural biasness of his day and say, I want to talk to you. Despite of where you come from, despite of your background, I want to have fellowship with you. I believe that's a good point for all of us, and something that we all have to continually strive towards. That we don't just seek to fellowship with those who hail from the same country as we, who have the same culture as we do, but we've got to learn to come alongside those from a different background, a different culture, and see not the color of the individual or the culture of the individual, but see the Christ in the individual. And if you serve Christ and I love Christ, then we have more in common than we disagree. I shared this before in my former church. Whenever we would convene after, you'd be likened to see Jamaican patties and fruit punch outside in the lounge. But in the British culture, we don't do that. We like our teas and coffees. Oh, and also the biscuits. Same form of fellowship over refreshments, but just a different menu. Different menu. But here Jesus is willing to talk to her. And I believe there are just three brief points here that I want to leave with you that we can learn from their conversation that can help us in the area of striving towards unity in the church and in the area of praise and worship. And the first point I want to leave with you, church, is number one, we have to recognize, here it is, that we must avoid limiting worship to one specific culture. We've got to avoid limiting worship to one specific culture. Here it is, we see that the Samaritans, they saw themselves as the authentic Hebrew people only, and the Jewish people, they felt that they were the one true descendants of Abraham. They felt that they were the true ones born of the teachings of Moses, the great patriarch. So they had this great collision. The Samaritans felt that they were the true ones of Israel. But then the Jewish people, they felt that they were the true, authentic Jews. So there was this great cultural clash. But in verse 20, it's interesting because the woman, she says here in the message, says, well, our ancestors, we worshipped God in this mountain, but you Jews, you insist that worship should only take place in Jerusalem. In other words, what the woman is saying is the only place to worship authentically is to worship in the mountain for us Samaritans. It was Mount Gerizim. It was a place, an iconic place for the Samaritans where they felt that was the only appropriate place to worship. But the Jews would worship in Jerusalem. And here we see that the woman was confused because she's saying, no, you are a Jew. We worship in the mountain with our cultural norms, but you worship in Jerusalem with your cultural norms. So my people, we worship this way, but Jesus, your people, you worship that way. And the challenge for us as a multicultural church is we have to get to the place where even if the style of the music, the style of the praise and worship is not to your particular culture or liking, can you see the culture of another and see it as important as your culture? Or will we allow our culture only to dominate the cultures, the other cultures within the church? Worship cannot just be limited to one specific culture. There are many, many different cultures that express worship to God in their own way. And it may be out of the ordinary for some of us, but we can't beat those up who express worship in their own way and say that our way is right, our way is the only way to worship. We've got to see other cultures and respect and highly value other cultures in the church. And the challenge here, we must be careful to watch out for cultural clashes within the church and worship. And our culture should not seek to dominate the other. We should learn from each other's differences and welcome each culture to worship God together. So one culture may express praise and worship to God in a more exuberant manner, and the other culture may worship God in solemn quietness. But the other culture is no greater than the other. We're all called to worship together in whatever culture or style we have. So not only should we avoid worshipping with one specific culture, but secondly, we've got to avoid limiting worship to one specific location. The Samaritan woman, she said, the only place you can worship is in the mountain. And the Jews, you worship in Jerusalem. But Jesus says, no, you've missed it. You've missed the purpose of worship. Worship cannot just be achieved in the mountain or in Jerusalem. But a time is coming when the true worshippers will worship not just in the mountain or Jerusalem, not just in our day in the church building, but wherever we go, we can worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We become, here it is, a wireless worshipper. Some of you remember back in the day with the old computers, and in order to get online, you had to go to the physical stationary computer, and you had to connect via that awful AOL system, dial-up internet. You remember that? And that horrible sound. It was awful. And half of the time, it didn't even work. But that was the only way that you could connect to the World Wide Web, is by being stationary at a desktop computer. That was the only way you could get connected. But now, of course, we can be connected through modern technology on the go. We can connect to the Wi-Fi. Now that wherever you move throughout the house, wherever you move throughout the vicinity of your home, as long as you connect to the Wi-Fi, you are connected on the go. And not only can we be connected to the internet at home, but if you're blessed to have a smartphone, you have what's called on the SIM card, you have 4G. Who knows about 4G? And that means wherever you go, as long as you have a 4G connection, you can be connected to the internet on the go. Well, I've come to encourage you, church, that God is calling his church not just to be a stationary worshipper, that we only worship in one location, a fixed location, that Sunday is the only time to worship, but God is raising up a generation that will worship the Father in spirit and in truth on the go. Wherever we go, we worship him. Whether I'm singing a song or not, I'm still worshiping him. That's why Paul says that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. All of who we are is worship to God. So we've got to avoid limiting worship to one specific location. Like the Samaritan woman, have we placed too much emphasis on worshiping God in the building? And I believe this week, challenge for us, God is inviting us to worship day after day, without those limitations. So avoid limiting worship to one culture. Avoid limiting worship to one location. But finally this morning, accept the invitation from the Father. I love this. Verse 23 and 24. Jesus says, the Father is seeking. It's one of few times in Scripture we see that the Lord is actively seeking for something. The Lord doesn't need to seek for anything. He has all things under his power. But Jesus says here, he is on the lookout for something in particular. He's seeking for worshippers. He's on the lookout for people to worship him. And the Greek word zeteo, it means to search or to crave. I love that. He doesn't need it because, as Paul says, God is the King of glory. But although he is the King of glory, he's also known to be a jealous God. And he is seeking, he is looking, he is craving for worship. The Strong's Concordance of the Hebrew word, it means to search out by any method. Oh, I love that. He's on the search for worshippers. And he's looking for people, and he's offered the invitation to all people to worship him. So whether you are from England, whether you are from Scotland, whether you are from Europe, whether you are from the Caribbean, whether you are from the continent of Africa and Asia, wherever you are from, whatever country you come from, then you are invited by the Father to worship him. Come and worship him. But the challenge is, as we come to worship him, are we going to allow our own cultures and our backgrounds to limit the potential of our worship? Because there will be clashes from other cultures. Are we going to accept the invitation from the Father and say, yes, I'll worship you, Father, but I'll only worship you in my own culture? I can only see worship as valid if I worship you in my own culture, in the areas that I'm familiar with. But are we going to say, I'll accept the invitation, and even if I have fellow brothers and sisters who have another culture, another style, I may not like it, but as long as you are worshiping God in spirit and in truth, then come along, my friend, and let us worship together. I may not like your style of song, I may like another style, but as long as you're lifting up the name of Jesus, then we can agree. I may not like every song that is selected on Sunday by the worship leader, but as long as Jesus is lifted high, then to God be the glory. Because it's not about our background or our culture, it's about the Lord. And he has invited all of us to worship him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, you've missed it. It's not about worshipping in the mountain of Mount Gerizim. It's not about worshipping in Jerusalem. But wherever you are, you can worship him. And in closing, last week, Alan was talking about heaven in the evening service. And heaven is a great example of the various cultures that will be in heaven. It's not just going to be people from England in heaven, you know. It's not just going to be Baptists. It's not just going to be a tea and coffee section and biscuits, and then another section for Jamaican patties and jollof rice and different cultures of food. But when we get to heaven, the Bible says people of every tongue, every tribe, every kindred are going to be together in heaven worshipping the Lord. And oh, I can't wait for that day. But we've been singing today, as it is in heaven, let it be so on earth. May his kingdom come. So we don't have to wait to get till we get to heaven to experience the multicultural worship in heaven. But even now, even in the local church, we can embrace and learn from the various cultures in the local church. As long as it's worship that is in spirit and in truth, and that is biblical, that is spirit-filled, then friends, the invitation is for all of us. Wherever you're from, whatever your background is, whether you're black or white, whether you're from England, Scotland, Wales, whatever country, the near some 200 countries that we have in this world, whatever country you're from, you're invited to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. As the worship team come back, I want to encourage you this morning that God is looking for worshipers. And salvation, friends, the Samaritan woman, not only did they have a conversation about worship, about water, but they also had a conversation about salvation. The woman said, "We know that salvation is of the Jews. Jesus says that through the Jews, salvation will come. A Jewish Messiah will bring salvation into this world. But salvation is not only exclusive for Jews, but for Jews and for Gentiles. This salvation message is available for all to receive it." So if you're here today and you have not yet embraced the love of God through Jesus for your life, then today is a great opportunity to invite the Lord into your life. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And the day you hear his voice, harden up your heart, allow Christ to come in. He's inviting you to be a spirit and in truth worshiper. If you want to know more about the Lord and want to know more about Jesus and salvation, please do grab me after the service or any one of the leaders. There's a prayer corner to my right, your left there in the back. And there'll be some prayer partners who will be there to pray with you. And any questions that you have, they'll be there to serve you. Please do meet us after the service. If you want prayer or need salvation or want to talk through anything about this service, we'll be there to serve you after the service. God bless you. We're going to stand and sing together. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And he is Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What Jesus wanted the woman in Samaria to know. It's not about your Samaritan background. It's not about your culture versus my culture. It's not about the Jews versus the Samaritans. But every knee will bow. Wherever you're from, whatever your background, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, whether you speak English or not, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this service today. We thank you for the call for us as members and a congregation to give, Lord, to the cause of the new boiler system. And we thank you, Lord, for the provision of always providing for the needs, Lord, of your church. And we say thank you, Lord, for the willing hearts, for those who will be giving cheerfully. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts, Lord, that have been received today and will be received, Lord, in the near future. And Lord, we do pray for us as a congregation. What does our culture have to do with worship? We thank you, Lord, for the blessing that in this congregation we have people from various backgrounds, various cultures, various personalities, various upbringings. But thank you that you've all called us, Lord, into this body. And thank you, Lord, you've called us by the same saving name of Jesus. And every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So help us, Lord, to journey together, despite our differences, Lord, help us, Lord, to unite over what is more important, Lord, that we're serving the same God and we're called to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and with all of our minds. So as we leave this place now, help us, Lord, to be the church dispersed, to make known the mystery of your gospel in this dying and last generation. We pray, Lord, that all people will see and know our testimony and our witness, Lord, wherever we go, that Jesus Christ is Lord. So as we leave this place now, but never from your presence, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us now, as well as forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please do join us in the lounge for teas and coffees and biscuits.